have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But anyone who obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yes, yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded him. Pray with me for a minute. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we look at your word, we ask again to understand it, but we also ask for the ability to obey it because we are weak. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. The title is Intimacy with God Requires Obedience. One of the definitions I found of intimacy is a close association with or a detailed knowledge or deep understanding of another person. Can you say that you have an intimate relationship with some folks in your life? Can you say that you know God intimately? Now, the Gnostics, remember the people that are behind this letter that he's writing to, that were the false teachers, were saying, well, you know what? We know God better than anybody else. We have a special knowledge and you don't. Ha, ha, ha. And so as he writes this section, he's saying, pay attention to me. Intimacy with God requires obedience. Now, he does similar what he did, we saw last week. He takes three things about what people say, and he deals with those. The number one is in verses 4 and 5, the man who says, I know him. Now, that know is more than just I know about him, because I know about a lot of people that I really don't know well. I know facts about them, but I really don't know them personally on an intimate level to know their inner thoughts and who they are, really. And so he says, the man who says, I know him, and then he goes on. Now again, know means to have an intimate relationship and understanding of someone. Okay? Now when he says, the man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. That sounds pretty harsh. The point he's making is this. That person is not telling the truth. That's pretty obvious from what he's saying, right? But why does he say that? Well, when you care about someone, you want to please them, right? You want to do something that makes them happy. And when we truly care about God, when we have the right kind of relationship with God, we're not going to do just whatever we want. But we're going to do what makes him happy, what pleases him. As you look at both the Old and New Testament, the great men and women of the Scripture were people who trusted God and who wanted to please God. The people in your life who say they care about you, do they do things that please you? Or try to do things that please you? Usually, right? They don't do things that displease you. And remember that? Remember that old illustration I use about loving somebody? Loving God? We say we love God, but then we do the very opposite of what he wants, sort of like the guy who walks in from work and his wife says, honey, I love you, bong, and hits him with a big pan. after a while, even us guys can figure out there's something wrong with that statement. One of those statements are wrong, right? Either the bong is wrong or the I love you is wrong. And we do that constantly with God, don't we? God, I love you. Oh, by the way, I'm going to do whatever I want. Well, those two things don't go together. That's what he's saying. And the Gnostics were people who said, look, flesh is evil and spirit is bad, and we're just living in the spirit, so what we do in the flesh doesn't matter. And there are a lot of Christians that kind of go that way. Hey, I'm saved, so I'm going to do whatever I want. And make excuses for whatever they want to do. Live like the rest of the world, even though they claim to be believers in Christ. And so he's hitting at those people. Hey guys, you can't live like the devil and claim to be God's child. It doesn't work that way. You do what pleases the people you care about. And anything else is a lie. But then on the other side, now he's doing this contrast between those who love God and those who don't. Those who are indeed having an intimate relationship and those who don't. And he says the one who says I know him and doesn't obey is lying, not telling the truth. The one who obeys his word, going up here, is what? Number one, he says, God's love is made complete in him. Now, what does that mean? God's love is made complete in him. That's a phrase that a lot of people have problems with. Go back to the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John with me. John chapter 14, look at verse 21. John 14, 21. I'm sure that the Apostle John, as he wrote these words here in the epistle, was thinking about back when Christ was saying the words that he records in John 14. In John 14, 21, as Jesus was talking about leaving them, in verse 21 of 14, he says this, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he's the one who loves me. John's saying the same thing he said back there. Jesus said, right? Look a little bit further. Next verse. The rest of the verse. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and show myself to him. And notice that phrase, I will show myself to him. You know what that means? That means having an intimate knowledge of God. That's how you build relationships, right? When you first met your mate, did you know anything about him besides, oh, that's a good-looking guy? Or a good-looking girl, right? Oh, I want to get to know that person. But then after you dated them, after you got to know them a little bit, after you began to share with them and they shared with you, the relationship grew as you gave them some of yourself. You let them know yourself. You might have shared things with them you never shared with anybody else. And that's what he's saying here. If you're obedient to me, I share myself with you. I will show myself to you. Have you ever wondered sometimes why you can't understand the scripture? Even as a believer, it may be because you're not willing to do it. It may be because you're saying, well, I'm a Christian, yeah, I'm going to heaven, but I'm going to do whatever I want. Well, you know what? God doesn't reveal himself to those who will not obey. Look a little bit further here. As he goes on, verse 22, then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. There's the same thing again, right? If you care about me, you'll obey what I teach, and I'm going to share myself with you. My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. There's that intimacy again. There's that being at home with us. So as we obey God, we get closer to God, and we are on an intimate relationship with him. That builds that relationship as we obey. Same thing is true on a human level. As we please each other, as we seek to please each other and help each other and do what the other one might like, we build that intimacy. We become part of each other. And that's true with God as well. Look at verse 24. He who does not love me will not obey my teachings. These words you hear are not my words, my own. they belong to the Father who sent me. Now look at verse 31. As he's getting ready to go out to die for us, he says this, "But the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come, now let us leave." See what he's saying? See what he's saying? I love my Father, and I'll do exactly what he wants to please him. And if you love me, you'll do exactly what I want to please me. And I'm going to show myself to you. That's why he says in that phrase we just saw, God's love is made complete in him, the one who obeys. God's love is made complete in him. Why? Because he's obeying, he's getting closer to God, and that relationship is building. And then John says, in the next thing, verse there, this is how we know we are in him. Lifestyle of obeying his commands is what he's talking about. A lifestyle of obeying his commands. Remember in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. No relationship is perfect. We're going to hurt the ones we care about. But we go back and we take care of that. We build that relationship back. Same thing is true with God. Same thing is true with God. God's love is made complete in him who obeys God, does his will. Now, as you look at that, you remember that Jesus became the ultimate example of an obedient lifestyle. He demonstrated the love of God. Therefore, what he says in verses 6 through 8, the next section, he says, whoever claims to live or abide in him must walk as Jesus did. Look at verse 6 there. Read it with me again. He says, whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Now, what does that mean? Do you have to be perfect? Jesus never sinned. Does that mean you have to be perfect? No, it means you have to be like Jesus. You have to do what he did. You have to walk in love. And as you look at the New Testament, the thing that caused people to be drawn to Jesus was the love he demonstrated. And he demonstrated it to the rich and to the poor, to those who thought they were righteous and those who were very unrighteous, to those who were of his own race, the Jews, and to those who weren't. He did it no matter what. He demonstrated that love. But one thing I think that John is talking about is the specific command Jesus gave in John 13, and that's the love for others. Notice as you go into the next verse 7, dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing and the truth life is already shining. What in the world does all that mean? A new command, an old command? Go back to John 13. You remember, just before Jesus left, he was speaking to his disciples. And you remember that what we read in John 14 is just a continuation of what he said in John 13. In John 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus says this. And I'm in Luke. I'll be glad when I get my eyes fixed. John 13, 34 and 35. That's two, Sherman. Okay. He says this, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So that's what John was talking about when he said, I'm giving you back an old command, but it's a new command. And what he's saying is, I'm renewing something Jesus gave us. Jesus displayed love to everyone, that's true. But the specific command has to do with showing a love to those who are His. Showing a love to those who are His. If you love the Father, you'll love His children. If you demonstrate that love and unity, the outside world's going to be drawn to you. And maybe that's why a lot of churches have people moving away instead of coming toward, because we don't show that love. Bicker, talk about each other to other people, complain about the unsaved, about the saved, you know, on and on. But He says, I'm renewing this command, is what He's saying in those verses. I'm renewing this command to love the other children of God. Now, as you go in a little bit further in that verse, go back to 1 John. And you'll notice He says there in the end of verse 8, or second part of verse 8, yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in Him and you. Now, you know, as I studied it this week, what I do a lot of times in the Bible verses I study is I write them out and I try to put the association. I draw arrows and you know, I say this is contrasted and all this kind of stuff. But as I worked on this, it took me a while to work it out. I mean, I've taught this before, but looking back at it again, it's kind of confusing. So what is He saying? Yet I'm writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in Him and you. Is He saying that command, what's told there is actually seen in the lives of the people He's talking to? I think He is. Because the darkness is passing and the true life is already shining. I think what He's saying is He's giving the assurance to these believers that they're fulfilling the command of love. He's saying, you know, in this I'm not saying that you are the ones not loving others. He's pointing to the false teachers. That shows you that what they're teaching is false because they are not fulfilling that command of Jesus Christ. Each one of these kind of telescopes out of the other. The man who says, I know Him and doesn't obey Him is lying. The one who is not obeying the command to love other brothers is not telling the truth. They're lying. And so He's giving assurance to these people that this truth is demonstrated in Christ, and I see it demonstrated in you as you love others who are in Christ. And when He says darkness is passing and true light is already shining, I think He's saying you're showing Christ through your loving actions. You're showing Christ through your loving actions as opposed to the false teachers who are doing the very opposite. So He's trying to encourage the believers there. And then I'm going to skip ahead a couple of verses. Look at verses 12 through 14 as He writes that. A lot of people are confused. They're thinking, well, what's John talking about when he says, I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of His name. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. What He's saying is there, listen, I'm trying to give you some things that show you the evil of these men that are trying to teach you wrong things about Christ. I believe, as He's saying in those verses, I believe you are obeying God. I believe you are serving Christ. I believe you are truly living lives that are showing your intimacy with God. But I need to warn you about these false teachers. Now, as He goes in the next section, you notice there he's speaking here about anyone who claims to reside in the light. Again, he's telescoping out in verses 9 through 11. If anyone claims to be in the light but hates his brother, is still in darkness. See, he's telescoping from that command, and he's pushing it out a little bit further. If anyone claims to reside in the light, notice the claims. Notice the one who's saying, he's saying something, but he's not doing what he says. But hates his brother, is still in darkness. In other words, he does not have an intimate relationship with God. You cannot hate the child of God and have a right relationship with God. Can I say that again? You cannot hate the other brothers and sisters of Christ and have a good relationship with God the Father. Over and over in the Scripture, we're told to give deference to believers, to love believers. We're to love those outside the world, but a special love for those who know Christ. And if we can't do that, then our testimony is shot, because our intimacy with God is not real. We're just claiming that. But he says, on the other hand, the contrast, look at the next verse, but whoever loves his brother. Now you remember, the word he's using here is the word agape, and that's the love that means self-sacrificing love. Remember, agape, self-sacrificing love. Phileo is a normal human love. But he's using that word agape, and that means you're sacrificing for other believers in some way to show the love of Christ to them. He's saying that person resides in light. He's showing his intimate relationship with God the Father through that. And then he says there's nothing in him that makes him stumble. Nothing in him to make him stumble. Why does he say that? Have you ever got up in the middle of the night in the dark of your house and walked over the kids' toys and run into the table and hurt your knee or fallen down? You ever do that? Yes. Now, we got so many little lights in our house. We got this little light on the stove, and we got that light on the refrigerator. I kind of can guide by that now. But a lot of times when you get up and you're still sleepy, I remember when I was volunteer fireman, the alarm would go off. I know Ryan can agree with this. Sometimes you don't remember who you are. And the thing's going off, and you're trying to get the address, and you're trying to get ready to go. You were just sleeping good. I remember lots of times Patty would be saying, okay, it's a fire. You know, your clothes are over there, and you know, and I'm stumbling around in the dark. And so he's saying, you know, the person who's in the light can do what they need. They can find their way. That's why we make flashlights, right? There's nothing to make him stumble. He can see what he needs to see. And that's a contrast to the person in verse 11 who is a hater, who stumbles around in darkness. That's a contrast. He keeps contrasting those who are in the light and who are in the dark. But then there's a contrast again. But whoever hates his brother, there in verse 11, is in the darkness. And that means he does not have an intimate relationship with God. He's stumbling around. He walks around in the darkness. Nothing worse than stumbling around in pure darkness, as contrasted to the one who's in the light. You know, when you don't know Christ as Savior, you have no guidance at all. You remember how it was before you trusted Christ? You may have been saved young. But remember, before you trusted Christ, if you're a little bit older, you didn't know what was going on. You opened the Scripture and it didn't mean anything to you. You know, you tried to figure out life and it just didn't figure. But when you are in Christ, when you've trusted Christ as your Savior, and you've got His guidebook, and you're living by it, you're obedient to it, as the psalmist says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We've got something that God designed for us to live our lives. And we don't have to stumble around. But too often, we leave the flashlight at home. We leave God's Word on the shelf instead of using it, don't we? And we start trying to figure it by what we think ought to be. Well, you know what? God's Word says this, but I think it ought to be this way. That's when we start stumbling. And that's when we fall. And that's when we hurt ourselves, when we stop listening to God. So he says, the one who hates his brother is in the darkness. He walks around in the darkness. And you remember what Jesus said in John 8:12? Rather than looking up, I'm going to read it here. He says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. If you don't know Christ, you have no light. If you know Christ and you're obeying the Word of God, you've got the light. You've got it. And then in John 12, turn to John 12 with me. Should have kept our hands in John, right? John chapter 12. Let's see if I can get John instead of Luke this time. John chapter 12, and we're looking at verses 35 and 36. He's speaking to the crowd when he says this. Jesus told them, "You're going to have the light just a little while longer." He was talking about himself. "Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he's going. Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of the light." Jesus said, "I've come into the world as a light so that no one that believes in me should stay in darkness." Number one, if you don't know Christ as Savior, you're in the dark. And that's not bragging for us, because we didn't make the light. He is the light. You need to trust Christ as your Savior today. If you've never done that, I'd invite you to pray and ask Him to forgive your sins and make you His child. If you do know Christ as Savior, intimacy with God requires obedience. Pray with me. Lord, thank you for your word. May we be obedient, not simply to be able to brag about it, but to realize that you enjoy, you love for us to obey you. It says to you, "I love you," when we do it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.